Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. Our dear friend Edward Wyckoff Williams has written a new piece in The Root called IRS, Apology for Tea Party Racists? If any other group called for government demise, the Republicans, the GOP, would have a fit. Edward Wyckoff Williams, of course, author, columnist, regular contributor to The Root, Huffington Post, and Salon.com, joins us once again, along with Lennon McAllister, who's a conservative media personality, public speaker, and writer, who's joined us also on the show many times, whether he is living in North Carolina or D.C., wherever he is now. And Edward and Lenny, welcome. Good to have you both with us.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
And folks, join us here, 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. You can log on to our Facebook pages or tweet us at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. Edward, outline this your major thesis in this piece you wrote, which I found interesting. I have questions about it as well, but just outline it so we can begin our discussion.
Okay. I want to start with the simple point that if any other group of Americans, but particularly Muslim Americans and African Americans, started to rally and attend rallies with concealed weapons, carrying signs saying "Don't tread on me," decrying having to pay taxes, and depicting a democratically elected president as Hitler. And if those groups then went and asked for tax exemption in order to affect political outcomes, I believe that the House Republicans and the entire Republican establishment writ large would organize so quickly in order to investigate those organizations. They would use the power of the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, and the IRS, and particularly when those organizations are asking for a status that allows them to receive anonymous donors. Can you imagine an America in which Muslim Americans could raise money to affect our politics and have anonymous donors? I believe that this entire IRS pseudo-scandal is a test case of cognitive dissonance within the Republican Party, because they claim to be out protecting a particular kind of freedom, but that freedom that they're protecting is only for white people and angry white people in the South and the Midwest. There's something deeply problematic about that.
And so, and you also look at the kind of the folks you, I think your article is also saying that you see the Tea Party as being fueled in large part and intensely
by supremacist organizations.
Right.
Yes.
So,
and Eve Conant of Newsweek did this research a couple of years ago, where she literally teased, I guess that's Lenny McAllister laughing in the background, she teased out of this with actual real research. She went and found Tea Partiers who were admitted white supremacists, and the DHS actually did a report back in 2009, the Department of Homeland Security, which Janet Napolitano had to defend, which showed that Tea Partiers slash white supremacist organizations were recruiting young people to go into the military to get weapons training so that they could then come out and form militias. And so this isn't just sort of an issue about raising money to affect our politics and people on the far, far right who have traditionally been anti-brown and anti-black. It's not just about that, but it's also about homegrown terrorist organizations, but homegrown terrorist organizations that don't have an Islamic ideology. They have a white supremacist ideology. But there's a double standard in this country, which goes to the heart of its original sin, which always and everywhere protects white supremacist ideology and those who carry that out. But if there's any other ideology, whether it be the Black Panthers, whether it be Muslims, that's always and everywhere stamped upon, teased out, imprisoned, marginalized. That's what I'm talking about.
And Lenny McAllister, I know you read the piece, so what's your response?
Laughter. I mean, it's so scattered. It's like saying that Christianity has been hijacked by the Ku Klux Klan because they burn crosses. Yes, there are some people that proclaim to be Christians that are part of the KKK that do not espouse Christianity at their core at all. yes, there are some people that are affiliated with white supremacist groups that hijack the Tea Party, use this as their movement in order to go after Obama. But to say that the whole movement is that, or that's the core of the movement, why would they get involved in the South Carolina gubernatorial race when there's an Indian American and a bunch of white guys running for governor in 2010 and make sure that Nikki Haley won? Why would they go after Rick Perry's person in Texas? Rick Perry's a Tea Party person. He was the person talking about seceding from the United States in 2009. Why would they go after Rick Perry's guy and support a Cuban-American in Ted Cruz in 2012? I can continue to go on with examples. Charlie Crist in Florida, a two-term Republican conservative governor. They went and supported a guy, Marco Rubio. Doesn't necessarily sound like a white Anglo-Saxon name. And a guy that was behind 60-something odd points in 2010 to make sure that he became the next senator from the state of Florida in 2010. I can continue to go on with this. These are not the moves of racists. And if you listen to Marco Rubio, he's not out there doing the Rand Paul thing, sitting there saying, you know, his problems with the Civil Rights Act. You know, Nikki Haley's not making a huge name for herself by constantly going after President Obama and saying all these type of controversial things. In fact, Nikki Haley was just a victim of racism by the Democratic Party telling her to go back from where she came from, which, by the way, she was born in South Carolina, from what I understand. So to sit there and say that there's a fringe element, which there is, I've seen the signs, but they're not everywhere at every Tea Party. You know, everyone needs to stop watching television and thinking that applies to all 50 states. The Tea Party movement is a 50-state movement. I've given speeches in the rural South where there wasn't one racist sign, and I've given Tea Party speeches in places such as California and Missouri. I've given Tea Party speeches in places that were not Confederate states, like he says in his article. So, again, to take situations and then make them to be the broad example, that's the problem with some people that cry racism all the time, is they will overlook obvious racism. They won't talk about the racism that's going on economically in bad neighborhoods, but they'll talk about the racism in the Tea Party. It's ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And then I have some really specific...
overgeneralization.
Okay. I have some really specific questions for both of you, but... Edward, go ahead.
I want to respond to one particular point, because I think that Terry basically is regurgitating a lot of what a lot of black and brown people who choose to associate themselves with the fringe elements within the Republican Party, or just the Republican Party writ large, particularly in the age of Obama. I want to specifically respond to the Marco Rubio bit, because you're acting as if Marco Rubio is someone who is trying to promote the needs of black or brown people, and he is not. And I think what's really interesting about him...
One at a time, we cannot understand anything anybody's saying when people yell on the radio.
Am I responding now? Because I think he had his time to speak.
Edward's finishing off, and then we're going to go right back to Lenny and go to the phones here.
One of the interesting points that I think about Marco Rubio, which a lot of people probably don't know, is that this is a man who is only in this country because his parents received amnesty, but in his support and pushing for immigration reform, which we all know is mostly going to affect not Cuban-American immigrants like him, who often identify as white, but actually Mexican-American immigrants, he has said that amnesty is not an option. That is the height of hypocrisy, and that is what is acceptable in the Tea Party and the Republican establishment now, and that, Terry, is what you are defending.
No, that's not. What I said was, and let me clarify what I said, because you apparently did not follow the logic. What I said was, you claim that the Tea Party movement at its core is racist, and the only reason, and I'm going back to your article, and that the only reason why they got together was to oppose the first black president. And I brought up examples of where the Tea Party got involved in races, where if they were so racist at their core, there's no way they would get behind brown candidates. Candidates that, by the way, in particular, like
that's
when I mentioned Nikki, wait a minute, Edward, I have my time to speak now, and I'm speaking directly to your article, something you put in print. So be ready to defend exactly what you put in print. For example, Nikki Haley, who had nothing to do with President Obama in 2008 or his reelection in 2012. We all knew that South Carolina was going to vote for the Republican nominee in 2012. Why would the Tea Party get involved in that race? Why would they get involved in a New Mexico race where Susana Martinez, again, that's not an Anglo-Saxon name. Why would they get involved in that race? Why would they get involved in other races where there were not going to be people that could go after the first black president? Now, I am not saying that there have not been examples where the Tea Party has gone over the line. Do I think there's been examples where they've over-pushed their position? Yeah, when it came to the debt limit in 2011, they went too far. There were other examples where they had a win, where they went too far. And I've been very clear to criticize them on that. If you talk about the Tea Party element and stand your ground with George Zimmerman, I also was critical of that on Politics 365 and in the national media. So again, let's not make it seem as though all brown people and all black people affiliated with the Tea Party don't understand what black and brown people in America go through. You're not talking to that one. But there have been clear examples in the Tea Party element where they got involved in races to support minority candidates that had nothing to do with
Here, because I want to let some listeners in here at 410-319-8888. Let's go to James and Bowie. You're on the air.
James from Baltimore.
Oh, I said Bowie on my chart. I'm sorry. James from Baltimore.
Yes. I want to ask the Tea Party representative about the original connotation of Tea Party that in 1774 a group of citizens jumped on British ships through the Tears of the Harbor. They were dressed as Americans or Native Americans. So the British and everybody knew that Native Americans had no interest in tea because they probably didn't drink it. But they used that way of masking themselves from the general public and from the British. You know, so for somebody to start a movement and use something that was racist, that's why I thought it was racist, because of where they got their moniker from, Tea Party. That was a racist act, using the American Native American to shield behind him to throw tea in the Boston Harbor. So how do you explain you not being racist when the word Tea Party is racist?
So let's talk about what James brought up here for a moment. I mean, the issue of race is a complex one. It's easy to go back and forth and say one group is racist and one's not. But the reality is, and I know you're going to disagree with this, Lenny, but let me put it out here. And because there are a couple of issues here I think that are important when it comes to both what the IRS did and with the stuff that Edward brought up in his article and beyond, the stuff I've been reading over the last couple of days, other people have written in this context, is that a lot of the conservative movement in this country, the new rise in the Tea Party especially, is driven by racism and is driven by hatred of immigrants. And that's a big part of the push. Now, it doesn't mean that everyone who believes is a conservative is a racist. Far from it. But a lot of what fuels that movement is a hyper-nationalism, a separatism, and people love in those movements to find somebody black or brown who thinks like they do, because then they can put the person up. See, we're not racist. Look who we support.
But not necessarily only who thinks like them, but who's willing to regurgitate that and push that narrative for money. I think that's what we saw with the pizza guy, you know what I mean? Like this, a lot of times these people, or Alan West even, like a lot of times these people don't necessarily believe this at their core, but that's regardless of the fact. They're basically...
I'm not so sure that I believe. I think that...
If I may, there's a couple of things to that. Number one, I think that people don't understand that the Tea Party element, those that really started pushing the Tea Party movement in 2009, and I'm going to answer the other aspect of what you brought up, Mark. A lot of these people were libertarian. A lot of these people were Ron Paul people who were, if you go back to the Ron Paul philosophy of the last 20 years before the Tea Party movement, they were big against the Fed, they were big against the IRS, they were big against big government, they were extremely isolationist when it came to their foreign policy positions. Remember, Ron Paul, what was the criticism? He did well in the primaries and all the debates until you started talking about Israel, until you started talking about foreign policy, and then he lost the Republican Party. So when you take that as a core, and then you have a movement, it makes sense that they're going to be extremely isolationist. Now, to the initial thing that you brought up, Mark, I do think that there have been clearly incidences where people have spoken wrongly about abortion. They have spoken wrongly about date rape and how women's bodies will shut it down, quote unquote, when there's a rape or some kind of trauma, which is obviously wrong. You also hear about some of the things when it comes to the isolationist movement, when it comes to immigration, and you certainly have heard some things from time to time about racism. So I'm not saying that this has been a movement that's been as pure as the driven snow. Let's make that clear. But at the same time, to say that the core element of this movement is purely racist, and you need to find black tokens to put out there to sing and dance when the music's on, to tap dance their way through a message, because they can then hide behind
just
that
like
and say
Sambo.
That they're not racist. Well, you know what? That is disingenuous in some regards. Are there some people that will regurgitate some of this stuff? Yes, but there's also people that understand the conservative movement. And I know that I profess, and I know that I'm one of these individuals, that can take the conservative movement and then say, this is how you have a conservative philosophy when you apply it to economics, to smaller government, to help those in need, including black and brown people that are usually at the very bottom of the ladder. Now, I would advance that both of you and the listening audience look for that as being the determining factor as to what black and brown people affiliated with the Tea Party are just singing and dancing, and which ones are actually really cognizant of what the conservative message is supposed to be to liberate all of America, not just push an agenda or not just dictate who's going to win an election.
Okay, so I'm Edward, go ahead, and I'm going to try to kind of jump in on some of your comments because they're going on a little long. Go ahead, Edward. Go ahead, Edward.
Okay, I want to point out the flaw again in Lenny's argument, particularly with respect to Ron Paul. We already know what Rand Paul said about having his issues with the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and how he would not have supported that, which is a prima facie case, I think, of latent racism. But Ron Paul and a lot of people don't realize this, particularly young people, had a long, long history of putting out racist propaganda, which came out during the election, which was covered by much of the African-American media, not just sort of the liberal media, but specifically the African-American media platforms. And I think that there's something wrong with this idea that somehow libertarians aren't proper Republicans and specifically aren't far-right Republicans, because they often are. Not all of them, but they often are. And I think Ron Paul is the best example of this. This is a man who for years and years, under his own name and banner, put out racist propaganda, and then when he was found out, claimed that somebody else wrote it. A part of the strategy there was to keep his own base, to keep the base of people who would support his libertarian ideologies and send him money for it. And so you have to feed the beast, and this is what the Republican Party does. It throws out dog whistles in order to ensure that angry white people in the South and the Midwest come to the polls, and they use racially divisive messages and messaging, and they use xenophobic messages, like Mark said. And Lenny, for you to be on this program and speak as if you do not know that that is the base of the Southern strategy, which is now just gone national, is just ignorant on its face.
Hold on. First of all, I'm not ignorant, and it's not ignorant because I just sat there and said that there have been instances where this has come up. So I did not deny that. Number two, and I'm going to challenge you on this.
Well, one at a time, gentlemen.
I got a question for you, Edward, and it's a series of questions. Are you telling me that it's just a Republican strategy and not a political strategy? So when people say, for example, this time last year that there's a war on women, when President Obama wasn't polling so well with women, you think that wasn't a dog whistle to get women back involved behind President Obama? When Joe Biden sat there and said, they're going to put you back in chains talking to an African-American audience, you're telling me that wasn't a dog whistle from a Democratic politician doing this? This is the dog whistle aspect of politics is something that's been going on in American politics on both sides of the aisle for far too long. Are Republicans guilty of it from time to time? Yes, but do not make it seem as though, number one, I'm a lackey for the Republican Party and I don't hold my party accountable, and number two, that this is something that is only unique to conservative politicians, because that, my friend, would be extremely disingenuous, particularly for somebody that's trying to espouse
an objective
point of view.
We have to take a very brief break here. We're going to come back, and our first caller up is going to be Clarence. We're going to take a little break. We've got to go to top of the hour news. We'll take a minute or two, and then we'll come back to our conversation with Edward Wyckoff Williams about the PC Road for the Root and Lennon McAllister, who has issue with that. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We're with Edward Wyckoff Williams, who's written a new piece for The Root, IRS Apology for Tea Party Racists, is the title of the article, and conservative commentator Lennon McAllister is with us as well to respond to that. Edward Wyckoff Williams is contributing editor to The Root. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Clarence, you're on the air.
Thank you, Mr. Steiner, and good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Why don't we expand the definition of racism to mean any group or person who promote law or policy that maintains a social standing and an economic standing at the exclusion of anybody else that doesn't look like them. Thank you, sir.
How does that fit into your definition? Lenny, very quickly first, and then Edward.
Well, I think that you can apply that definition. Again, that's why I go back to there are some people within the movement that have very selfish reasons for why they're involved. But if you really understand the conservative movement and what a smaller government philosophy is supposed to do, you can take that philosophy and empower everybody in the country, not just certain favorite sections of the country.
Edward?
Well, I think I almost agree with Lenny. I certainly agree with Clarence, and I think that that's how we should see it. All the more reason that I'm a bit perplexed by people like Lenny McAllister, who help promote a Republican Party ideology, which is anti things like health care, anti gun control, in support of programs that keep young African American and Latino men in prison. Like, that's what the Republican Party is about. And so if we're going to talk about it in terms of its public policy effects, you cannot possibly be in support of a Republican agenda. Not in this day and age, at least.
Let me clarify that, because you got my reputation on the line with that one, Edward. The bottom line is I'm a member of the Republican Party. I do support the efforts of the Tea Party movement in regards to the spirit of the Tea Party movement. But let's be clear on what my platform has. I've never supported keeping black men imprisoned. I've never supported keeping black and poor people uneducated or without jobs. In fact, there have been plenty of times over the years, both as a candidate and as a pundit, where I've taken both sides of the aisle to task for policies that do not empower and liberate enough people that are disadvantaged. So let's be clear. If you're going to make it specifically about me, you need to go check the record both of what I've written on
the
Tea
Party
elsewhere.
Now.
And no, what I said is I'm defending the Tea Party spirit, and I've also said that there have been times where they have crossed the line. I've said that more than once during this interview. So let's be clear about that as well.
Let me get another caller in here, 410-319-8888. Janice, you're on the air. Hi, Janice. Could you turn down your radio, please? Then we can hear you better.
Yeah. Hey, Mark. Okay.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey.
Hi.
Oh, hey. Thanks for taking my call, Mark.
Sure.
The point I wanted to bring up is that I don't hear anybody talking about cultural differences. I feel that this is an argument that is less about race and more about culture and more about value differences. I mean, you have black people who are in the upper echelon who really don't associate or get along with people that live in the inner city, don't understand why they function the way that they do. You have whites who are also not connected to poorer whites in the South, and it has a lot to do with culture. And I think that people really need to, you know, we need to sort of take the drama out of the argument and try to find a way way to connect culturally, connect where values are concerned, because we need to elevate ourselves as a nation. And I think that, you know, people that are not really invested in education, invested in arts, invested in ways that we can elevate ourselves, I think that's also a part of the problem. So I'd be interested in knowing how you think about that. Thanks.
That's a really interesting question. And let me turn to Lenny first and Edward to close out. Because we have to close out, but let me go to Lenny first and then go to Edward. Lenny?
I think that's a very excellent point that Janice brings up. We addressed that in Black Tea, the new civil right that's coming out, a new documentary by Kevin J. Dotson, and that's the epitome of what I do. I'm sitting here on the south side of Chicago, radio show on the south side of Chicago, been here since 2010. I sit there and I can go to the Tea Party element and the RNC and walk south side with people that struggle and have kindred with all three. That is how you elevate the game, by showing where the principles can work and where the principles need to be tweaked, where the messaging needs to be tweaked, and where some of the policies need to be adjusted so that the conservative principles can be liberating and empowering for all Americans, not just a favored few. And that's something that needs to be done more often, which is why some of the attacks from Edward on me are off base, because there has to be somebody and some people that create that bridge once and for all.
And a closing thought, Edward Wyckoff Williams.
I know you don't have much time. Let me just say, I really, really appreciated that caller's point. I think she makes an excellent point, and we should take the drama out. But I think that in the age of Obama, we are looking at an African-American president and first lady who actually do care about the needs of those black and brown people in inner cities, as well as those poor whites in the Appalachians and throughout the South and Midwest. And we have a Republican Party that is organized against the agenda to liberate those people economically and offer them education and health care, to regulate guns in such a way that our children on the south side of Chicago or in the gardens of Sanford, Florida, aren't shot for no reason. I think that that is a part of the problem here and a part of the disease of racism, that you then have poor whites in the South and Midwest voting alongside those wealthy whites in power in Washington and New York and across the country, and they're in tandem against the African-American president. So race still does matter in this country.
Edward Wyckoff Williams, Linda McAllister, thank you both so much. We'll be posting your work online. Always good to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
We're going to take a 30-second or less break, and in will walk James MacArthur, the Baltimore Spectator. Out of jail, back in the community, we'll hear his story. Don't go away.